Good morning. 38 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. When it comes to celebrating Christmas, why is it so important for Christians to connect the cradle to the cross? Joining us with some insights on that is author, radio host, and Christian worldview expert, David Wheaton. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
So it's Christmas week, and a lot of people are focusing on Santa Claus and gift buying and all the materialism that goes along with, unfortunately, this time of year. I'm curious, historically, when did Christmas become so much about, stuff and Santa instead of about Jesus?
Well, jolly old Saint Nick has been around for a long time. But I've just noticed over the last couple decades, at least, that there's been a significant de-emphasizing of Jesus Christ at Christmas. And I think this has followed, Bill, the secularization of our culture. As our society becomes increasingly, we've called it post-Christian, where the major institutions of this country don't acknowledge God and, separation of church and state, you see that bleed out into the broader culture. So just take a look at your own neighborhood. How many Christmas decorations do you see up that refer to or point to Jesus Christ rather than to Santa and reindeer and everything else? I think it's, you'll notice as you walk around, open your eyes, just look and see, you'll see a definite emphasis, 90% on Santa and the elves and reindeer and that kind of thing, and not so much on Christ. Christmas break for kids is now called what? It's called a winter break. It's rare to have a creche in a public space. Employees in some companies are encouraged to say happy holidays over Merry Christmas. And so I think you look at all these things, and there's just been a shift over time away from the Christ of Christmas to Santa Claus and things like that.
It's interesting. Even Donald Trump has been saying we're going to bring Christmas back, Merry Christmas back in this country.
Yeah.
So been a big
that's significant that actually he notices that people notice this. I've been watching on actually Fox News recently that the hosts have been very determined and purposeful in saying Merry Christmas a lot. It's like people all of a sudden feel free to say this again, where we should have never felt not free to say it in the past.
Mm. It's the misunderstanding of the separation of church and state, and unfortunately, it's, as you said, permeated all levels, and we've seen some incidents in school districts where, principals or teachers have come down on a kid for, wearing a Noel sweatshirt. You take that off. You're proselytizing. And, of course, that's not the case at all, and it violates their First Amendment rights. It's sad. This time of year, when we focus on Christ's birth, can you explain why it is so important to connect the cradle to the cross?
Yeah, this is critical, actually. We just had someone recently on our radio program who wrote a book on this, connecting the cradle to the cross, named Stu Epperson Jr. And this is so important because offering himself on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind was actually the ultimate reason why Christ was born. So the cradle, Christ in the cradle, was really just the beginning of his march from that wooden trough to later, 33 years later, a wooden cross. So focusing solely on baby Jesus in the manger, that's heartwarming, but it means very little without remembering the much higher purpose for which God became man. So it's very important to keep in mind that these two events, the beginning of Christ's life that we celebrate at Christmas, and then his crucifixion and resurrection we celebrate at Easter, are very, very closely linked. They need to stay that way.
I know you talk a lot about this in your own program, and that's that we have to make sure that we always consider the whole counsel of Scripture, the bigger picture, the 30,000-foot level. And what a great opportunity for us this time of year when we're talking to people about Christmas and what we believe about Christmas, to then help them understand the full story, the full narrative leading to not only Christ's crucifixion, but also his resurrection on Easter.
That is exactly right. Again, you can't even totally focus on the cross if you don't acknowledge what happened at his birth, by the way, too. It works the other way. So a man dying on a cross doesn't mean much unless you know that this man was born of a virgin and a perfect man who could take away the sins of the world. So it works both ways. The cradle is nothing without the cross, and the cross is nothing without keeping in mind what the cradle actually was, that this was the Son of God becoming man.
Mm. Now, from a biblical perspective, a biblical prophecy perspective, explain why Jesus' birth announced first to shepherds and specifically to shepherds near Bethlehem. Why was that so important?
Well, there's a lot of significance to that. He was the shepherds were the first person, the first people that was announced that Christ had been born. Now, Bethlehem is where the unblemished lambs for temple sacrifice were born and raised by these shepherds. And so an angel, there was actually a tower there called Migdal Eder. It was a watchtower over the sacrificial flocks. This is right near Bethlehem, which is in very close proximity to Jerusalem. And so these shepherds who were raising the temple lambs for sacrifice, now just imagine all of a sudden they have an angel come and say, now the perfect Lamb of God is coming, has come, that is going to take away the sins of the world. They would have got that significance immediately. That's why they received this news with great joy, and they immediately wanted to go see baby Jesus. The breeding of unblemished lambs, of course, these were but types of the perfect Lamb of God that was to come, that could ultimately actually take away the sins of the world. So this was very significant. And the fact that Christ was born a virgin, this is something that, you know, just kind of part of the story that we sometimes forget about. That is incredibly significant to how Christ lived his life and what his sacrifice meant on the cross, that he was completely unblemished. He wasn't just unblemished, he was perfect. Again, the lambs were types of the perfect Lamb to come. And without the virgin birth of Christ, Bill, we don't have one to save us from our sins. I mean, everyone who's born of human parents has a sin nature, and thus has his own problem to become right with God. We could pay the debt. We could pay the penalty for our sin, which would be death, for one sin, and that would be it. But because Jesus Christ was supernaturally conceived from a virgin woman, he is sinless and so perfect that he could die for the sins of the whole world and satisfy God's justice and wrath. That is why the virgin birth is so significant.
Mm. Our guest is David Wheaton. You can find out more about David and his writing and speaking by going to davidwheaton.com. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on Faith Radio. Merry Christmas. This is the Faith Radio Network, 47 minutes past the hour as we get you going on a Wednesday morning. Bill Meyer with David Wheaton, our Christian worldview expert, and David and I talking about the significance of tying the cradle to the cross this time of year. We love to think about the cuddly little baby Jesus in the manger, but many people forget what happened 33 years later, or they have never considered that. Actually, David had an interesting experience the other day. We had my daughter had some of her friends from school over to bake Christmas cookies, to make Christmas cookies and then decorate them. And we had one of our sister stations here in the Twin Cities, KTIS FM, on, and they were playing Christmas music. And the song Happy Birthday, Jesus came on. And one of these girls said, What does that mean? Happy Birthday, Jesus. So here's a little girl who had no clue that Christmas is about Christ's birth.
It's really incredible. I think as Christians, we can't assume anymore that there's a basic understanding of what Christmas actually signifies, what it means, what Easter means. There is such a low level of understanding of just baseline knowledge about who Jesus Christ is and why he came and what he did on the cross that existed in previous generations, because people generally, even if they weren't born again, so to speak, they kind of went to church. There was more of a Christian ethic woven throughout our culture. So that doesn't surprise me. I think it's incredibly sad that we can come upon Christmas and have kids asking, well, what does that mean? Happy birthday, Jesus. But I think it just shows where we are as a country now, and that's a very sad thing.
Mm. Now, one of the things
it's a good opportunity as well, though. It's a good opportunity as well to be able to explain it to them. Yes,
exactly. I love, David, I love hearing traditional Christmas carols on the radio every year, and many of our life stations connected to Faith Radio do that throughout the Christmas season. What's amazing about Christmas carols is that they often present the entire gospel in just a few short verses, and they do connect the cradle to the cross. Can you give us a few examples of that?
Yeah, if you just dig down to the second or third verse or the fourth verse of many of the very popular Christmas carols, you'll see this connection from the cradle to the cross. I'm just going to give you two examples. I'm not going to read the whole Christmas carol, but two popular ones. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is just what we've discussed earlier in the interview today, that here we have baby Jesus, and he was announced to the shepherds. These shepherds lived near Bethlehem, which is where the temple sacrificed lambs were raised. So that's what we've been talking about. Now go down a verse here, and it says, good Christians fear for sinners here. Now we get into sin. Wait now, how do we get away from the baby Jesus? Now we're talking about sin. Good Christians fear for sinners here. The silent word, the word is Jesus, is pleading. Listen to this line. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me, for you. And it goes back to the baby. Now back to the cradle. Hail, hail, the word made flesh. There's the virgin birth, the babe, the son of Mary. I mean, that's just a powerful connection between the cradle of Christ to the cross of Christ. One more really quick one is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which is a great doctrinal, as you mentioned, really presents the gospel in the song. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. There is the birth of Christ. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. And here we go to the cross. Born, here he is born, that no man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. So there's this strong connection in many of the traditional Christmas carols between Christ's birth in that cradle and what he did for mankind on the cross.
It's so powerful, David. And I don't think a lot of us, we sort of hear these carols go by and we don't stop to think. And, you know, it's a lot of times the language is the old English style. But if you stop and look at the words and listen to what those carols are saying, and I love you mentioned What Child Is This, because the stanza that you mentioned is often missing from the version of that song that we hear on the radio. That stanza, nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. And I think part of the reason is it's missing is because it's pretty dark. And a lot of people don't want to hear that at Christmas time. They want to, you know, think of jolly old Santa and elves and nice little baby Jesus in the manger. They don't want to think of a spear and nails piercing him through. That's just really hard to hear. And yet I heard the other day, I think it was Third Day's version of that song, and they included that stanza, and I thought, wow, good for them. Again, connecting the entire story, the cradle to the cross. David, I know you have a young son at home, and I'm wondering, can you suggest some practical things that families might do to make their Christmas more Christ-centered this year?
Well, yeah, having a young son, I think, makes you think about, you know, he's coming in with kind of a blank slate. He doesn't know what Christmas is about. And if you just listen to culture will tell you what Christmas is about. It's about Santa. It's about shopping. It's about drinking and parties. It's even about football. It's about winter break. It's about holidays. And so if you just you look at that and you think, well, this is the message that culture is sending him. We need to send him the message of what the real reason for the season is. And so I think just what we just mentioned, one important thing to do is sing Christmas carols as a family, not Jingle Bells and Santa, those kind of carols, but actually the carols from the hymn book. What Child Is This? Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The good Christmas carols that point to Christ's cradle and the cross. This is a great thing to do as a family. You might think, oh, Christmas carols as a family, that's sort of awkward. But, you know, people like to sing. And when they get kind of into it a little bit, it kind of loosens them up, and it's a really nice thing to do to help focus on the Christ of Christmas. I would say another thing is we've set up a creche, and so there's a visible image in our living room that this is the focal point of why we are celebrating Christmas. You may want to have a calendar that points toward this, a day-by-day opening of something and a giving of a gift to Jesus. And you can be very creative with a creche, but I think that's an important thing to do, not as an idol, but just purely as a remembrance of what Christmas is about. Another thing I think is a great thing to do on Christmas or Christmas Eve is when you're together with your family, read from the Bible, the account of the birth of Christ. you know, maybe from the passage in Luke 2. I mean, they play it on Peanuts, Snoopy's Christmas special. We can certainly read it as a family. There might be members there who don't understand it or haven't thought about it. So that, those just some basic fundamental things like that, or even the gift giving aspect that can get so out of control at Christmas with shopping, and all the focus can be for kids, especially on what gifts I'm getting and so forth. How about teaching our kids to give a gift to someone in the name of Jesus, not just a toy, just to make someone happy and feel like they have a toy, but give it in the name of Jesus because they brought gifts to Jesus to worship him. And so just a couple things like that, Bill, might help Christmas become more focused on the real reason for the season.
I'm just thinking of your little guy. How old is he now?
He's 3 and a half.
3 and a half. Just as you said, kind of a blank slate. And I'm so thankful that he has parents like you and Brody who are going to be teaching him the truth about what Christmas is all about. I was just reading One More Christmas Carol, the lyrics to God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. And then listen to this. To save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Just amazing. I think every one of us, maybe today, just read one of those traditional Christmas carols, pull up the lyrics online and read it and meditate on what God might be saying to you this year. David Wheaton, thank you so much for your time. May the Lord bless you this Christmas with your little family, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the new year.
Bill, thank you, and Merry Christmas to your family and to listeners as well.